Postman, Colonel Bob McGinnis in the Washington, D.C. area. Bob, we were a little bit concerned about getting you on the air, buddy, because the phone was ringing busy, and basically I don't think you thought it was busy. I guess you're having a little bit of a storm up there in Washington.
Yeah, Jimmy, we have 2 feet and rising, so it's still falling outside, and we're expecting it through Saturday evening. And then, of course, 3 more days of snow are predicted the balance of the week. So far this year, we're probably next to the top record. The record here for Washington was set in 1898-99 with 54 inches, and we're in the upper 40s.
Oh, my. Hey, is there any evidence of global warming up there?
Well, I did see Al Gore running down the street.
Oh, Bob, that's something. Hey, well, anyway, we'll get away from the weather again. Let's talk about what in the world is going on, even as we're speaking. Several things developing we want to talk to you about. For example, this new U.S. missile shield. We were talking about it one time, I think, putting it in the Czech Republic, then over in Poland. Now it looks like Romania has agreed to host this U.S. missile shield. What's this all about? Is this politics? I mean, what's the president doing? Why is this happening?
Politics defines everything in Washington, I think, Jimmy. Yes, the decision by the Obama administration last summer to pull out of the deal by former President Bush with the Czech Republic and Poland, and now they're talking to Romania and other countries about perhaps new technologies going in there. I don't know that this is any more than politics. We'll have to wait and see what deals are struck. We were going to have a mid-course anti-ballistic missile system, which was very similar to what we have in Alaska and Vandenberg Air Force Base in California. We were going to do that in Poland. And that would have, of course, taken care of most of Western Europe and the threat posed against the continental United States posed by an Iranian intercontinental ballistic missile. Putting it in Romania probably fits the politics, but I'm not sure it's necessarily going to defend our country, but we'll have to wait and see.
When, if they are going to put it in Romania, when you're saying it's not going to necessarily fit the security needs for America, why in the world would they be put it in there then? I mean, will it protect Europe?
It certainly would protect Europe, depending upon the types of technologies. We're talking Standard Missile 3 that we use on the Aegis cruiser. Are we talking Patriots? Are we talking Arrows that we develop with the Israelis? It's not quite clear which operational system we intend to put in there. We are saying something will be on the ground by 2015, and I think there are a host of technologies that are vying for that position.
Let me throw a bunch of items at you real quickly, Bob, for some response to as many as possible. For example, the United States, as I understand it, has rushed a defense system into the Persian Gulf area. What's behind this story?
It appears as if the Obama administration has come to the conclusion that Iran's not going to talk to us, at least on any terms that we can accept, that the threat is real, and therefore we are going to provide a missile shield, something like Hillary Clinton, the Secretary of State, said last summer, over that particular region. So a number of nations, 4 specific nations, are probably going to have Patriot systems. We already have 8 Patriot missile batteries in the Gulf, and perhaps more are on the way. We have the Navy's 5th Fleet in Qatar, which, of course, has Aegis and other capabilities. So it would appear as if this is acknowledgement that diplomacy has failed. Sanctions are on the horizon, although they probably are going to fail as well. And then inevitably, there will have to be some sort of decision whether to take military action or to accept a nuclear-capable ballistic missile-armed Tehran.
Mm. Well, does that then fit into the U.S. military strategy that has just, I think, been changed to focus on multiple wars instead of just wars in 2 major zones?
The Quadrennial Defense Review is probably what you're talking about, Jimmy, that was published this past Monday. And it tries to make the military into just about anything and everything. We're in Haiti. We're all over Africa. We're all over the Mid East. We can do anything, any place, any time, and apparently with dwindling resources.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but
yes.
Having read through that document, and I've worked on that process in the Pentagon before, this particular document has very little focus. And quite frankly, it makes it very difficult for people on Capitol Hill to figure out what in the world this administration wants to do with the military.
Yes, absolutely. Well, in speaking along that line, Admiral Mullins has come out saying that gays should openly be able to serve in the military. Is that contradictory to the laws that you were talking to me about? And when you appeared on the Larry King live television program on CNN, you seemed to emphasize was the major concern.
Now, I'm very concerned about what Admiral Mullins said, as well as Mr. Gates. I applaud the idea that they're going to take a year to study it. I'm not sure that Speaker Pelosi and Majority Leader Reid over in the Senate are going to wait that long, much less President Obama. Basically, what we need to do, Jimmy, is to go back to 93 on the task force I worked on, look at all the issues we had there, and then validate those issues. If they're valid, then the law that we put in place back in 93 is still valid, and therefore there should be no change. Admiral Mullen took the position, he said personally, that he favors changing the law, repealing the law. But that's not his job. As Senator McCain said, this is repeal by fiat. They essentially have made the decision, and they expect Congress to follow in line. I think there's going to be a fight. I suspect this fight will be pretty political, and yet the military, at the end of it, I think, if they're asked, will say, no, this is not a good idea, especially in a time of war.
Mm. Hey, the United States, and I'm changing subject quickly on you here so we can get through these issues. The United States sold arms to Taiwan. Was that a message to Beijing? And by the way, China, at the big security conference in Munich, taking a strong stand, saying we are getting stronger every day. I mean, this sounds like saber rattling.
It is saber rattling. Beijing just doesn't like us selling packages of weapons to Taiwan, which we've done for a long time. And since Taipei broke away and became an independent nation back in 49. And yet, Beijing is flexing its muscles. It has a lot of financial capability. It has a very robust military. It doesn't want to be ignored, much less shunned by the U.S. And the Taiwan issue is incredibly sensitive to the people in Beijing. So I'm not surprised by their reaction. And they'll continue to become an obstacle in our efforts to sanction Iran, an obstacle on a host of issues.
What about, let's go on to Iran. You mentioned Iran. Let's look at that just for a few moments. Internal pressure going to continue to mount there against President Ahmadinejad. Could they use their surrogate terrorist organizations like Hamas and Hezbollah to do what they want to do, not only in the Middle East there against Israel, but possibly around the world, and especially in light of the threat for February the 11th, which is a special anniversary?
No doubt that Ahmadinejad, Ali Khamenei, and, of course, the Revolutionary Guard, which are the ones that have stewardship over Hezbollah, Hamas, and even some of their tentacles that reach out to al-Qaeda, could use those proxies for their own purposes. They've stretched them in the past. They've gone after us. They've gone after our allies. There's no doubt. That's part of their plan. And, of course, they're causing problems for us now in Yemen, in the Horn of Africa. They're causing problems, obviously, with Hamas in Gaza and, of course, the major buildup in southern Lebanon with Hezbollah. So, yes, we face an enemy that is very willing to use proxies, and it will happen probably sooner than later.
One quick final answer, if you will, 30 seconds. Israelis are training Kurds in northern Iraq. Is that in preparation for possibly using northern Iraq as a stepstone into Iran?
Well, politics makes strange bedfellows. In this case, the Kurds of course, are alienated from their own government in Baghdad, with the Shia dominating there. They have their own independence long-term in mind, would like to bring together Kurds across Iraq, Turkey, Iran, and Syria. So I would not be surprised that the Israelis are working with them, expecting some assistance and spying on Iran. And, of course, the Kurds would like any assistance from the outside doing what they want to do, and that is to become an independent state.
Yes, an independent state, which is very, very oil-rich. We'll continue to watch this story. Colonel Bob McGinnis, he's up in snow country, Washington, D.C., 2 feet and rising. I like that very, very much. Hey, Bob, throw another log on the fire. Stay warm, buddy. We'll talk again.
Thank you, Jimmy.